God. Isn't that something? This morning, you and I, on this Christmas day, we can be together. Hallelujah. You know, there's something special always just about getting together with God's people. But when you have the opportunity to get together on Christmas, what a blessing it is. Just think, it'll be 11 years if the Lord tarries and we're still breathing, it'll be 11 years before we have this opportunity again. So this is a very special day, and I'm so grateful and thankful for the things that God's done. Aren't you? Hallelujah. I've just been bubbling over ever since last Sunday morning, listening to Sister Mary's message about God's gift. You know, there was just so much imparted into us by the Word of God. We need to just let that gift just keep expanding and growing in our lives. I want you to open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. While you're opening there, Brother Ryan's going to put Matthew 15, 13 on the screen. Matthew 15, 13. And what this is not a Christmas message in the sense that you'd normally think it would be. But as I was walking and praying this week in here, especially yesterday, the Lord just imparted some things to me that I want to deliver to you this morning. I think that will be an encouragement to you, be a strength to you. I want you to hold this verse as we go through this message. Hold this verse in your heart. Jesus is talking, and he said, but he answered and he said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Aren't you glad of that? Now, ultimately, Jesus is talking about the tares, and he's talking about the eternity. One day, you and I, we're not going to have to deal with the devil and all of his problems and all of the things in his life. But I want you to take this verse this morning, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to put your right hand on your heart. And I want you just to let the Spirit of God give you just an opening of your understanding this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we put our hand over our heart. And we ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit that you open up the eyes of our understanding this morning. Lord, let every person here see themselves just the way that you showed me in that open vision of our hearts and our lives. And let us personally, let us see Jesus Christ as the root of all things growing down into our lives. And Father, right now, show us every rock in our life. Every rock of offense, every rock of hurt, every rock of aggravation, every rock of disappointment, every rock of pride, every rock of false passion, let it be revealed to us this morning. And let us get every rock out of our life where the root of Jesus Christ can grow like never before in our lives. We give you, Father, permission. Uproot everything in our life that would be a hindrance, everything that would keep us from being all you called us to be. This coming year, before the coming of the Lord, let us be in the place where you have complete fruition and growth in our lives. We give you that permission and we expect it. In the name of Jesus, we all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if we got rocks of hurt in our life, rocks of disappointment, all of these things, that they keep Jesus from being able to be where he needs to be. Amen. You know, this is Christmas. Christ is the root of Christmas. But do you realize that the majority of people will celebrate Christmas without the root? Right. It's just another holiday to them. It's an opportunity to receive, an opportunity to give. It's just another holiday. But to you and I, we recognize and realize it's the day that we celebrate the birth that brought the love of the Father into demonstration into our lives. Amen. What a day it is. So, like I said, not a traditional Christmas message, but you'll see as the Spirit of God leads us. Colossians chapter 2, let's read verses 6 and 7 for a text. Colossians chapter 2, the writings of the Apostle Paul here to the church. If you're there, say amen. It said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, so live by him. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, live by him. Verse 7, notice this, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Brother Larry, would you ask the blessing on this message? Yes. That's right. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for your presence here this morning. A sample of the family of God, you know, that what we're going to have to look forward to. We've got so much to look forward to. We can't even understand how great it's going to be in heaven. I mean, our eyes, natural eyes, can't see. Our natural heart can't understand. But aren't you glad that the Spirit of God, by His Spirit, He's revealing more and more of what the eternity is going to be for us? Oh, we've got so much to look forward to. But this morning, I want you to just look at some things. And the Spirit of God wants to help us this morning. He wants to encourage us. He wants to strengthen us. And every time that you and I come together, people of like faith, that all things are possible because you and I believe God and we trust in Him. But I want you just to be encouraged. Now look at what He said there. He said in verse number 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord. So when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you received Him as the gift of God. And you received Him knowing that everything about your life had been based on a lie and it was not leading to anywhere except to death. You had no hope, you had no confidence. But then all of a sudden you received Jesus as God's gift, the demonstration of God's love into your life, and you received Him. So as you and I received Him, we had an anticipation, we had an excitement, we had a hope like we never had before. And so what we want to do on this Christmas, we want to make sure that we keep the gift of God, Christ, fresh in our lives. Amen. We don't want it to be like, you think about Christmas. Kids, they open up something on Christmas morning, they get so excited, and it's the most important gift, the best thing they ever had. And wait a few days. All of a sudden, it loses its glitter. It loses its pull on your heart. But Jesus wants us to continually walk. In other words, He wants you to stay so fresh by Him. He wants you to have an anticipation. He wants you to have a hope and a confidence. No matter what the devil's trying to do in your life, no matter how hard the flesh is pulling on you, the way that you receive Christ is the way that you can walk Him in every day. You can have that same confidence, that same hope, that same promise that God never changes, even though our feelings do, even though our situation does. All of those things change, but God never changes. And because you are a spirit being, you can walk and live in that, not change. Amen. Now, notice what He said. He said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk, so live, live ye in Him, live by Him. He is your life. Now, look what it says. I want you to notice the first part of the verse. It says rooted in verse 7. Rooted, this is the past tense. In the Greek, this is a past tense. In other words, it's a completed action. When you got born again, when I got born again, you become the root, the seed of the Word of God caused your spirit to be born again, and the root of Christ grew into you. It's a completed action. In other words, in your spirit is the Holy Spirit, is Jesus. Because where the Spirit of God is, there's Jesus. Where Jesus is, there's the Father. The Godhead lives in you. So this is a completed action. So you'll never be alone. Come on. Christmas Day is a hard day for a lot of people. It's a hard day for me, because it's supposed to be something glorious and joyous and all these things. But my whole life I've had to fight depression on Christmas because I always look at things the wrong way in the flesh. And so what we got to do, we got to say, no, wait a minute, I am not alone. I may not have everybody in my life that I want in my life. I may not be able to be with them like it used to be, but I've got the Lord. Amen. He's with me. And so that root is there and it's glorious. And I need to live by that root. I need to see it's a completed action. The devil cannot take it away from me. The hope of heaven is mine because my name is written down. Your name is written down. And all of our loved ones, hallelujah, whether they're breathing and been born again, or whether they've done went home with the Lord, their name is there. Amen. And so we're going to have a great homecoming one of these days. It's going to be an amazing time. But I want you to notice he said that we're rooted. But look at the next three things. He said, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, these three words here, they're present tense in the Greek, and they're active. So we're rooted in Jesus, but these three things are growing in you. These three things are growing in me. So if you keep walking with the Lord, if you keep living by him, and that's what we're going to do, then these things are going to grow in you. So in other words, the root of Jesus is wanting to grow into areas of your life this morning that he's not there. But see, we got to make that confession to the Lord. It doesn't matter about anybody else, but we tell the Lord, Lord, in this area, I don't feel the root. I don't feel the love of God in that area as I should, or I don't feel the life of God in that area as I should. I don't feel the freedom of the Lord in that area of my life as I should. And if there's a rock of unforgiveness, if there's a rock of hurt, if there's a rock of disappointment, if there's a rock of confusion, if there's a rock of false passion, false pride, whatever it might be, I want this morning to be the day that the Holy Ghost comes into my life, helps me root out that, where Christ can grow down in that area. Amen. So it's progressive. Now, what's supposed to be progressive? Established in the faith. In other words, every day you're going to walk deeper and stronger by faith. The Bible says that that's how we please God. It's impossible to please him without faith. Come on, but you're a people of faith. So that means every day you're going to be able to please God more and more and more. Tell the devil that. When the devil gets on your head, when he tries to get in your mind, when he starts trying to work in your bank account, when he starts trying to work in your heart or work in your family, say, I'm going deep. The faith of God is going deeper in my life. It's growing because God has dealt to us the measure of faith. But Peter teaches us that we're to add to our faith. In other words, what does that mean? It means you have the measure of faith, but the way you add to it, you learn how to operate in it. You know, you understand how to loose it. See, because there's some things right now I'm wanting to loose faith in, but I haven't done it yet. But I've got this promise that this is going to grow. It's progressive. I'm moving forward in it. He said, that you and I were built up in him, were established in the faith, and we're abounding with thanksgiving. In other words, my thanksgiving level is growing. Aren't you glad? Because see, I can't have a level of joy that Jesus promised me. Jesus said that he gave me his joy. But the way that I'm able to operate in the joy that Jesus gave me and allow that to be the driving factor of my life is I've got to be thankful. See, so I need to learn how to start being thankful in all things, and then I can rejoice in all things. In other words, it ties hand in hand. So, in other words, take the things this morning that the devil might have in the back of your mind that you're dealing with, that you're thinking about this coming week, this coming year, that might be detrimental to you, that might be a hindrance to you, and ask the Lord, Lord, show me that root that I can be thankful in. Instead of, see, the devil wants you to be pessimistic. He wants you to be in a place, in a position where, how can this work out? I don't know how it can work out, but I know who's working it out, don't you? So these things are progressive in our life. They're growing. And now I said those last two to get back to the first one. Built in him. You and I, we're Christ building. Remember Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not. Come on. So he's progressively building in you. So you look at your life this past year and you let the Holy Ghost give you an evaluation, not the flesh, not the devil, but you let him give you an evaluation. You go, okay, I see here God's wanting to build some things in my life in this area. And I didn't maintain this, or maybe I didn't take care of this, but he's building me. So I see that word of correction. I see that love that's spoken to me in truth. I'm going to let him come into my heart and I'm going to let it be changed. Amen. We're at a progressive. We're not going down. We're going up. Amen. We're getting stronger and stronger. We're getting to look more like the Lord, because the more the devil says we're not, the more the world says we're not, they're a liar. We're going to hold on to the Word. All right, now go with me to the Old Testament. We're going to work our way back to the New, but go to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 11. And this is so important that you just see with the eyes of your spirit this morning, because I wish I could put it into words. It's, and every one of you know what I'm talking about. It's hard to take what you see in the spirit and put it in words, because God can show you something in the spirit and you need a manuscript to write it out into English, because his what he shows you is so deep. But I saw you, and I saw us in our spirit, and I saw the Holy Ghost bringing the truth of the love of God in us, and so ever so gently, just taking these rocks out of our life, and then as he did, the Holy Spirit, the type of the water, watering this, just causing the root of Jesus just to start growing down deep and deep in our lives in places that we didn't even know that he wasn't there. We didn't, you know, we didn't have an understanding. And I'm just amazed and excited at what God's going to do. But we've got to let him do it. Amen. We've got to trust in him. Now, notice this in Isaiah 11 and 1. This is a Old Testament prophecy. Of course, it has been fulfilled by Jesus, but 11 and 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So we know we're talking about Jesus here. David was a type and a shadow in the Old Testament of that. And we know the lineage was intact all the way, just the way God said it would be. And so Jesus, you know, come through this bloodline on the natural side, and come from the bloodline from the Father by the Holy Spirit on the spiritual side. And he is that line. He is that lamb. He is that Savior that God has gave us on this Christmas day. But you and I, we've got to see that he come by the plan of God. He come by the Word of God. So if you're not satisfied with where your life is this morning, replace the Word that you're listening to in the natural and receive the Word from Jesus. If you'll receive the Word that is Jesus, from God by the Holy Spirit, it'll what? It'll bring some things into your life. It'll bring the promises. Say, there's some things that God has promised that I'm not walking in, that I haven't possessed yet. But guess what? I need to let this Word have preeminence in my life. I need to say, God, whatever you say, I believe you, whether it looks like it, whether it feels like it or not, I'm going to accept it. Now look what happens. Verse number 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Of course, we know that the Spirit of the Lord, and you can read it when Jesus was baptized, because that's what John had been told, the Baptist, he'd been told by God the Father, that the one that is going to be the Messiah, the anointed one, when the Spirit of God, when you baptize him, when the Spirit of God comes on him, he's going to stay upon him. And so we understand that. Well, guess what? When you become a Christian, Christos, that anointing that was on Jesus, comes in your life, and that anointing abides with you forever. So the Spirit of the Lord, he's in you. He lives in you, whether you feel him or not, whether situations are painting that picture, where feelings are in agreement with that or not, he's with you. So the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, notice, the sevenfold Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of the Lord, but the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, the spirits of knowledge, and the spirit of fear or reverence of the Lord. These things are working in your life to show you God the Father and his plan and his love for you. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So no, the more the devil tries to make you feel bound, the more the devil tries to make you feel shy, the more the devil tries to make you feel imprisoned, the more of the reality is, no, I've got the Spirit of God in me, and where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. I am free this morning, amen? And the Spirit of the Lord shows you, he said in John 14, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord would only lift up Jesus. And he'll bring to your remembrance everything that Jesus has said. He'll teach you new things. That's what he's wanting to do this morning. He's wanting to remind us of some things, but he's wanting to teach us some new things that we can receive him. And as we receive him, that root is going to grow down in us, and the rocks are going to come out of our life. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Now notice what happens. Look at verse number 3. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear or in the reverence of the Lord. This is what you and I need from Jesus by the Spirit. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So here's what the Holy Ghost said. And you, he said, this morning on this Christmas day, now let this hit your heart. Are you worried? Or are you worshiping? Are you worried? Because some of you got some things on your mind this morning, some things, I don't care how much you think about it. Jesus said you can worry about something all you want to, but you're not going to change one stature. You're not going to be able to add to your height or take away from your height. You can't change it. Don't worry about it. Worship the Lord instead. Take all that energy and all that time where the devil is causing you to worry and turn it into worship. Because he said he would do what? He would make you of quick understanding in the fear and the reverence of the Lord. In other words, the devil doesn't want you and I to recognize the Lord, because as we recognize the Lord, that worship comes out of our life, and worship is a revelation of where our faith level is. And as we start worshiping the Lord, then all of a sudden we start adding to our faith, because we start believing God for more and more. That root starts growing down, and those things that's trying to steal from us, they get pushed out of our life. The Holy Spirit also said to ask this question. He said, ask on this Christmas day, 2022, do you see yourself as blessed or bored? See, he showed me there's situations in people's life, they've become bored with what thus saith the Lord. And if you're bored with what thus saith the Lord, then you've lost your blessing. I've lost my blessing. This morning, we need to open up afresh the gift of God. We need to see that this gift is a gift that keeps on giving. We need to see that this gift is powerful. This gift is mighty to save, as they were singing. This gift is the only hope that you and I have. This gift is our everything. Amen? So I need to be in the place and the position where I say, Lord, show me every rock that is stealing the truth from me. And he shall make of him quick understanding in the fear and the reverence of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall he reprove after the hearing of his ears. And this is important, because on this day, there's going to be more fussing in households than any other day of the year. This is the day of love. This is the day that the true demonstration of the love of God has been revealed to mankind. Yet the devil will get involved in family dinners, in family time, and he'll make people look at things that they don't appreciate in other people, that they don't understand in other people. I'm telling you to hear what I'm saying. I'm here today to deliver you from a situation, from a rock that is going to grow, and it will stop and hinder you from fulfilling the will of God this coming year. We've got to be so cautious, so cautious. This is the day of love. This is the day to draw nigh one to together. This is the day that you and I, we can let every division be swallowed up by opening up the gift of Jesus. We can be one with one another because Jesus said so. Jesus prayed the Father. Amen. We need to walk in that. We need to let it manifest in our lives. And look what he said, the last part of the verse again. He said, he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. I got to preach it, okay? God said, repent. He said, we're judging people by what we see on the outside. We're judging people by what we're hearing with our ears, and we're not seeing them the way that God sees them. And all we have to do, though, is say, God, I receive your word. I believe that. I know that that's the truth. I repent in Jesus' name. And then what happens? What happens? The Holy Spirit comes and takes that rock out of our life, and then where that rock was, come on, the root grows. Because Jesus said you can't be empty. Remember? You take something out of the house. If you don't put Jesus in the house, here comes the devil back, 7 times worse off than you were before. We've got to take in. See, everybody wants to feel good. Everybody wants the weight off their shoulder. But the question is, do you want to take in what Jesus has to replace what once was there? We can have it both ways. This morning, there's a lot of people who are playing with the devil, but they're trying to praise the Lord. You say, oh, no, 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 no. Yeah. If we don't obey the word of God, we're playing with the devil. Verse number 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. Now, this is what you and I have to do. If Jesus could do it, we can do it. Because he said, the works I do, you're going to do. And you know, we always look at that. Well, I'm going to get to do this and go to do that. We've got to start here on the ground, grassroots level, or we won't do anything else. Amen. But with righteousness, you shall judge the poor. In other words, you and I, we need to see our brothers and sisters in the place of their need rather than the place of what aggravates us. Poor means they have a spiritual need. I'm going to go home happy. You can go home happy or not, but I'm going home happy. But with the righteous shall he righteousness shall he judge the poor, and notice this, and he reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. This spirit is in you and I that enabled Jesus to do that. Isn't that amazing? So this morning, you and I can leave here and we cannot have to worry about judging by what we see on the outside, not by what we hear on the outside, but we can be in a place where we can see our brother and sister in their place of need, in their place of hurt, and we can say, Lord, how can I not judge them? How can I not be aggravated or offended them, but how can I help them? Isn't that amazing? Because that's what we're destined to do. Notice this. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Oh, come on. This is powerful right here. What was Adam made from? What's your flesh made from? My flesh causes me all of my problems. But the word of God will slay that flesh. It will put that flesh down where I can walk in the Spirit. I can walk by the Spirit. I can live by the Spirit. Where I can have my hope, my confidence. Where I can be what God called me to be. Amen? So I need to what? I need to hear the Word of God. I need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I need to slay this flesh off. And understand, now we're not teaching, we're preaching. You may think I'm taking some liberty here, but You got to divide the difference, and you got to see that there's when there's a certain thought, a theme that the Holy Ghost wants to teach. This is the way He does it. And with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to hear the Holy Ghost. I want the breath of the Lord to come upon me, and every wicked thing that's trying to attach itself to me, I want it to be slayed in Jesus' name. I want that wicked work of the enemy, that wicked thought. I want that every way that the enemy would try to put me in bondage, try to hold me and my family, my church family, hold us back. Lord, speak the word. And as He speaks the word, it will slay the wicked. It will slay the enemy out of your life. All you have to do, all I have to do is hear it. Receive it. Amen. And when we receive that engrafted word, it's able to save our souls, right? Our mind, will, and emotion. Okay. Can you not look on the positive of what he's saying there? And you know, you can have this spiritual understanding. It's yours. It's mine this morning. It's bought and paid for. Okay, how about this? Spirit of God says this statement. Everybody wants my comfort, but you can't have my comfort without my conviction. Everybody wants my comfort, but you can't have my comfort without my conviction. See, because the Word of God convicts us. The Word of God is what brings us to the comfort if we're willing to hear it. Ooh. Better write this down. Don't let my opportunities become your obstacle. Don't let my opportunity, Holy Ghost says, don't let my opportunities become your obstacle. See, an opportunity from the Lord doesn't look like an opportunity to the flesh. To the flesh is an obstacle. Well, this is something I've got to overcome. But no, the opportunity from the Lord is that because Jesus overcome, we can be like Jesus in the earth. Amen? Because he said so. Okay, Isaiah 53. Verse number 1. Isaiah 53, 1. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the arm of the Lord is Jesus. Isaiah 59, 1 tells us, it talks about, is God's arm too short that it cannot save? Is his ear too heavy that he cannot hear? The arm of the Lord is Jesus. So, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who is the arm of the Lord revealed? Say, it's revealed to me. The arm of the Lord is Jesus. You want to receive Jesus deeper and deeper. You've received him as Savior, but you and I, we need to receive him every day in the revelation that the Spirit of God brings to us. Yes. See, because one day I need him as Savior. One day I need him as healer. One day I need him as shepherd. One day I need him as deliverer. One day I need him as friend, confident. I need to receive Jesus the way the Spirit is trying to bring him to me. See, if we're not careful, we just want the good time message. We just want the blessing. Well, we've got to have the full blessing is to have the fullness of God for where we're at from God's point of view to come into the fulfillment of being more like Jesus. Amen? See, Jesus looks and sees the truth. Verse 2, for he, Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Notice this. And as a what? Mark it down in your Bible app. And as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness when we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. And of course, it's talking about in Jesus being in the natural. There was not going to be any pull in the natural because it was a spiritual manifestation. See, today, people worship people because they look a certain way. People, they get all the breaks because they look a certain way. They dress a certain way. They act a certain way. They talk a certain way. And guess what? Their way is the way of death. We need the way of righteousness. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Come on. I'm the only way to the Father. He's the life. Amen. And so we need to make sure that we see him and we let that root. He said, out of dry ground. This morning, I need to tell the Lord, I've got some dry areas in my life, some dry, rocky areas, and I want Jesus to grow up out of that. Now, that helps me because, and all of my fears, all of my failures, all of my natural hang-ups, it doesn't matter. The devil will say, see, Jesus will not help you in that. No, you're a liar, devil. Because he will, because he will grow up out of dry ground. He did. He grew up in a place in Israel that was spiritually dead. They knew God, but they didn't know him in the way that God wanted them to know them because they couldn't, because it was before the dispensation of grace. Now you and I, Jesus has come up and there's no dry land that he can't conquer in your life and my life. Amen. We can. God said, I'm going to build a vineyard. And when I build that vineyard, I'm going to put the choice vine in it. And I'm going to put a watchtower in the middle of that. And I'm going to put a wall of protection around it. And he said, I'm going to go in and I'm going to start pulling the rocks out. That's what he wants to do this morning. He wants you to see that he's the wall around you. And he wants you to see that you've been grafted into the vine. Jesus is that vine. We are the branches on him. And he wants to start taking these rocks out of our life. Verse number 3, talking about Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised and we esteemed him not. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't treat us the way that he was treated. So why do I want to treat somebody? See, I've got the power this morning now because I've got a different seed in my life. You've got a different seed in your life. See, the world has a seed kind after kind. You get me, I'm going to get you. But now you've got the seed of the love of God in your life. God so loved me. He so loved the world. So I can love. The love of God is being shed abroad in my heart. Okay, verse 4. Surely, this is a legal statement. In other words, it'll abide in a court of law. Surely he hath borne our griefs and he's carried our sorrows. He's carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Surely. In other words, when the devil starts trying to load you down with grief, with any burden, you need to say, wait a minute. Jesus has done carried that to his cross, and his cross is my cross. And I'm not going to pick it up. I'm going to let Jesus take care of it. I'm going to cast every care upon him. This rock that would be in my life, that would be a weight, that would be a hindrance, that would be a limitation, that would be something that would stop me. I'm going to cast it on the cross. Amen. Because surely it's a legalistic term. In other words, because being a child of God, you being a child of God, you have the right not to carry it. The devil can't put it on you, but you can't accept it. The devil can't put me on me, but I have accepted it many times. But I don't have to. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are, hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24, Peter looking back at the cross says that we were healed. So you're healed. You have a healing covenant with God, spirit, soul, and body. I have a healing covenant with God, spirit, soul, and body. But guess what? If how many of us, you know, you've all got, hurt as a kid or whatever. Remember, you'd be riding that bicycle or roller skates or whatever, you know, and you would fall down. You get them rocks in your knees, or you get climbing a tree. You get a splinter in your hand. So you got the source of discomfort out of the wound. It couldn't be healed. Listen, by the Spirit of God this morning, do you get the source out of the wound? You can't be healed this morning. Don't matter what God said, but you've got to be willing to let him take the splinter out, let him take the rock out, let him take the speck of sand out. And until you and I do that, when we hold on to that, the root of Jesus can't grow in that. Oh, it's important. It's important, but it's a covenant. It's available to us. Okay. Go back to the New Testament. I'll let you go in just a second. Romans 15. Hallelujah. Look at I won't take time to read all of this, but you read where he's talking about the Gentiles and that we have this covenant with God because we've been called in. And let's just... verse 12, Romans 15, 12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a what? A root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust, and in him shall the Gentiles hope. Come on, the root of Jesus wants to reign over you and I. Reign means that you and I are under his promise. We're under his provision. We're under his care. Come on, some of you this morning, you're carrying some cares that are going, they're hurting you physically. They're hurting you emotionally, and you need to cast that rock out in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm tired of carrying this. I'm tired of worrying about this. I'm tired of dealing with this, and I want you to reign in this area. And the moment that you make that confession and you make that repentance, then the root of Jesus can start growing in that area. Bring healing. Bring peace. Now, it may not bring the solution that you want in the flesh or in the natural, but it'll bring the solution that will get you in a place that God wants you to be. Yeah. See, we can't control other people. God gives them free will just like he gave you. We pray for them, and if God gives us a certain word to speak over them, or if he tells us something to do, we do it. But ultimately, you can't make them do what they're supposed to do. All you can do is say, God, they're not going to tear my stomach up anymore. They're not going to tear my body up anymore. They're not going to tear my mind up anymore. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to trust in you. I'm just going to give it to you. You have to do that because it's killing you. Amen? Verse 13. What's the first word? Now. Right now, this is for us right now. Now the God of hope give you a little bit of joy. Oh, okay. Fill some of you with a little bit of joy. Okay, if I had a cup up here and I had about an inch of dog poop in the bottom of it, and then I filled it up with water, is the cup full of water? Not to be graphic, but to be serious, we've got some yucky things in our life. And on Christmas, what better day for God to give us a manifestation of taking everything out of our life that would be a hindrance where we can what? We can be full. Now, right this moment, this morning, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Oh, Greg, you don't understand. The doctor said, you don't understand, my accountant said. We all relate. Come on, we're all being pressured. We're all suffering from the same things because we're humans in a fallen world. My problem's not bigger than your problem. Your problem's not bigger than mine. But guess what? They ain't none of them bigger than Jesus. Amen? So now let's let him fill us with all hope. Because of what? Because of joy. Now notice this. And peace, how does it come? In believing. That's right, Sister Michelle. We believe that God sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what teaches us about what Jesus has said and brings us to our remembrance. It's all according to what I want to look at. It's all according to what I want to meditate on. Because the Bible says, whatever I meditate on, that's what I'm going to talk about. And whatever I talk about, that's what's going to dominate and direct my life. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the, like Sister Michelle said, through the power of the Holy Ghost. So here's what the Spirit of God said. He said, are you going to release the power, or are you going to release the problem? See, when you speak, you're releasing something. You're sowing seed. You're turning the rudder on your ship. You're taking, James says, and you're taking the bridle in the horse's mouth, and you're turning the horse that way. Are you releasing the power of the truth of the Word of God, or are you releasing the problem? God didn't know the problem, and the devil loves it when we just keep talking about the problem. Let's talk about the promise. Jesus is the promise. Amen? Okay. Go with me to Matthew 13 and I'll let you go. Matthew 13. I got to read just a little bit here to get what we're talking about. Verse 18. Matthew 13, 18. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. You and I, we don't want to be on just on the outside looking in. We want to be in the middle of God's will. Amen? We want to be in the middle. God won't get mad if you try to push your way into the middle. Because what, you're not pushing somebody else out. When you and I, when we push, draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to us. In other words, it's not that you're moving somebody else. You're just making way for God to come to you. Oh, come on now. Verse 20. But he that received the seed into what? Into stony places. Those rocks. Those rocks in our life. Those rock of unforgiveness. Rock of hurt. Rock of torment, rock of offense, rock of pride, all of these things. In the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon or immediately with joy receive it. See, the moment you get saved, when you receive Jesus, the word of God, there's joy. There's joy. But you, just because you get saved don't mean that you're going to be satisfied. Doesn't mean you're going to be full of joy. Don't mean you're going to walk in peace. Doesn't mean all of it, because you've got to what? You've got to let Jesus grow in your life. You've got to have this word, because the devil is putting every other word at you, trying to get it in your mind, trying to get it in your action, trying to get it to be a part of your life. And so you've got to receive it, because look what happens. Verse 21. Yet he hath no root, or he hath not root, because of these stony places. This person, they have not root in himself, but endureth for a while, dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he or she is offended. See, these rocks will keep you and I from letting Jesus grow in our life, and immediately they'll cause us not to bear fruit. See, that's what this is about. You and I bearing 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. Where Jesus said that you are my disciples, and it's destined for you to bear fruit. Amen. The fruit from the word of God. But if I've got a rock in there and I don't let God deal with it, then guess what? I'll never have fruit in that area of my life. Come on, think about your family that you love so much. I've got family that I love so much, and I see the different rocks in their life, and they never bore fruit in that area in their life, and they lived and died in misery in that area. And guess what? That stone is passed on down to me, trying to work in my life. Jesus can take care of those things. Come on, if we're in his vineyard, he can get those things out of our life. Do you believe that? Do you want that? I want it, don't you? In closing, Brother Ryan, put what versions do we have besides the King James? Psalm 69:9. Do we have, is the only thing we got the Amplified, or do we have? Read it. What the one you don't recognize. Put it up there. Let's see what it says. The King James Amplified, they talk about zeal, but the word is not zeal. It's passion. It's passion. And when I was walking here and praying, the Spirit of God, I mean, he stopped me in my tracks. I almost went to my knees. He said, you got to tell somebody that's going to be here Sunday morning that the devil is pursuing your passion. He's looking at your life. He's looking at the gift that is on your life, and he is angry. And he's pursuing your passion, and he wants to stop that passion. And he's going to do it by two ways. He's first going to try to get you to lose interest in that passion. And then if that don't work, then the Spirit of God said he's going to pervert the passion. And so you need to hear this morning. Okay, it says the same thing. Okay. For the zeal of thy house. Now, the word zeal, you look it up. Don't take my word for it. It would be better translated passion. And, of course, this is a prophecy of Christ. And the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. The zeal of the house. In other words, Jesus, the reason why he was able to do what he did, he had a passion. And his passion was for God the Father. He said, I want to hear what the Father says, and I want to say it. I want to see what the Father's doing in heaven, and I want to do it here on earth. And he said that zeal, that passion, eat him up. In other words, it took, he emptied out. That Paul teaches us that Jesus went through a kenosis in Philippians. And in the book of Philippians, a kenosis means that Jesus emptied out completely of everything of the flesh, where he could fill it completely with the Spirit. And when he did that, everything that would hinder him got eat up by the house of God, by the will of God. This morning, that can happen to you. That can happen to me if we'll allow God's will to be done, because this is so critical. I need you. God needs you. For us to do what's going to be done in this next year, you've got to be in your place. I've got to be in my place. And we've got to have the Lord's passion in our life. Don't let him steal it from you. Don't let him pervert it. Amen. Now, I couldn't, if you don't hear anything else I'll say, you make sure you hear that, because when I stepped on that stop, top of that stairs there and hit the platform, I mean, the Spirit of God met me just so strong. This is real. This is true. So you've got to receive it. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this group of people on this Christmas day. I thank you for the love that you've put in their heart. I thank you for the faithfulness that you have dropped in them. I thank you for the willingness that they have to serve. Lord, they're willing to give their last dime. They're willing to shed tears when nobody else sees it. They're willing to drop sweat from their brow doing things for you, working in this church, working in this community, working for you, because you've put that zeal there, Lord. But right now, I ask for divine revelation by the Spirit of God. Any way that the enemy is pursuing the passion, any way that the enemy is trying to pervert the passion and show us what you would have us to do about it. But also this morning, Lord, bring an MRI in our lives by the Spirit of God, and show us every rock that is rooting out the root of the Lord, the word of the Lord that would take root and bring your promise and provision in our life. Show us what you'd have us to do this morning. Touch us and draw us. Let this be a supernatural encounter, and we'll be quick to praise you for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning?